problem here.
Can say again, please.
Houston, we've had a problem.
Friday night is family night on ABC. First join the Brady Bunch. Alice and Greg and Carol and Mike, Marcia and Jan and Cindy and Peter and Bobby and Tiger.
What is it?
Our house with 8 bedrooms.
And then spend some time with Nanny and the Professor and Butch and Hal and Prudence and Waldo.
What do you think about that, Dad?
Well, I think that I'd rather not think about it.
And then it's the Partridge Family. Shirley and Keith.
Uh-huh.
Danny and Laurie.
Uh-huh.
Chris and Tracy.
Uh-huh.
And Reuben.
You are making me a nervous wreck.
Remember, Friday night is family night with Alice and Greg and Shirley and Hal and Waldo.
4 persons, including 2 women, were shot and killed on Kent State University's campus today during renewed demonstrations involving hundreds of students. The university was ordered closed as disorders continued for more than 2 hours. 6 other persons were reported shot in addition to those killed. The 4 persons were killed during a clash between students and members of the Ohio National Guard outside Taylor Hall near the University Commons, where an Army ROTC building was burned down Saturday night. Brigadier General Robert Canterbury, Assistant Adjutant General of Ohio, said the fatal shootings occurred as a group of guardsmen were moving back to the Commons after dispersing several hundred students with tear gas. The order was given to return to the Commons, General Canterbury said, and as the troops moved out, a crowd estimated at several hundred closed in and assaulted the guard force again with rocks and pieces of concrete. A single shot was fired, the officer added, closely followed by several other shots, these by guardsmen. Officers with the guard continued, ordered an immediate ceasefire, and continued to move to the Commons, where ambulances were dispatched to move the casualties. This is John Preston Smith reporting from Kent State University for WKSU News.
Hello, welcome to Rock and or Roll. I'm your reluctant host, BJ, and this is episode number 70 of the podcast. And what I'm going to do over the course of the next 30 episodes is not every time, but some of the times I'm going to talk about my top 10 favorite albums for the corresponding year to the number of the episode. So for example, this is episode number 70. So in today's episode, I'm going to talk about my personal top 10 favorite albums as of today that were released in 1970. 1970 was obviously a transitional year. The 60s were over. 1970 saw the circus of the Manson family trial and Army officer Jeffrey McDonald blaming the vicious murders of his wife and two daughters on a similar gang of phantom hippies.
When military police arrived at the McDonald home early on the morning of February 17th, they found the captain sprawled on a bedroom floor. His wife, who had been expecting a child, lay dead beside him.
It was one of the most sensational murders of its time. In the early morning hours of February 17th, 1970, at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, Colette McDonald, 4 months pregnant, and her daughters Kimberly, age 5, and Kristen, age 2, were savagely beaten and stabbed to death.
During this attack, I suffered approximately 19 stab wounds, including one which collapsed my right lung.
Husband and father Jeffrey McDonald was severely injured as well.
McDonald told a bizarre story. 3 young men and a woman had attacked the family for no apparent reason.
But suspicion quickly focused on Jeffrey McDonald as the killer, a handsome Princeton-educated Green Beret captain and emergency room doctor. McDonald has always said he is innocent, but he was convicted and given multiple life sentences.
Number 10 on my list of my top 10 favorite albums of 1970 is the 6th album by a band out of California called Creedence Clearwater Revival. CCR's first album came out in July of 1968, and within the next 3 years, the band would have 10 top 10 singles. Pendulum, which came out in December of 1970, was the band's second album released that year, 1970, but I like it a lot more than Cosmos Factory. Pendulum was the last CCR record produced by John Fogerty, and the last with his brother Tom as a member of the band. Pendulum is the only CCR album to not include any cover songs. All 10 songs were written by John, and essentially, even though an unfortunate album called Mardi Gras would come out in 1972, Pendulum was the last real Creedence Clearwater Revival album. Pendulum reached number 5 on the Billboard charts and spawned 2 top 10 singles. Have You Ever Seen the Rain? And my favorite CCR song, Hey Tonight.
Tonight. look out the window in the morning. What will happen in the evening in the forest with a weasel with a teeth that bite so sharp when you're not looking in the evening? And all the friends that you once knew were left behind. They kept you safe and so secure amongst the books and all the records of your lifetime. What will happen in the morning when the world gets so crowded that you can't look out the window in the morning? Sister fair. And now that the family is part of a chain, take off your high shade, start over again.
Number 9 on my list of my favorite albums of 1970 is an album called Brighter Later by Nick Drake. That's spelled B-R-Y-T-E-R-L-A-Y-T-E-R. Brighter Later came out in November of 1970 and was Nick Drake's second album. Nick Drake was a 20-year-old college student when he signed with Island Records and recorded his debut, Five Leaves Left. Following the release of Five Leaves Left, Drake dropped out of college with just 9 months left before he would graduate. But his discomfort with live performance or any kind of promotional activity at all kind of hindered the progress of his career. Brighter Later took even further the kitchen sink production of Five Leaves Left with lots of strings and horns, but Drake's songs were meant to be acoustic, as evidenced on his third and last album, Pink Moon, which is his master work. While the production on Brighter Later may have been inappropriate at times, even misguided, the songs are great. The album sold fewer than 3,000 copies at the time.
Please give me second grace. Please give me a second face. I've fallen far down the first time around. Now I just sit on the ground in your way. Now, if it's time for recompense for what's done, come sit down on the fence in the sun. And the clouds will roll by, and we'll never deny, it's really too hard for the fly. Please tell me your second name. Please play me your second game. I've fallen so far for the people you are. I just need your star for a day. So come ride in my streetcar by the bay. For now, I must know how fine you are in your way. And the sea she was I,
but she won't need to cry. For it's really too hard for to fly.
Number 8 on my list is the second album for Apple Records by a band called Badfinger. Most of Badfinger's debut album, Magic Christian Music, had actually been previously released on an album when they were still calling themselves the Ivies. And that first record is still a very 60s sounding album. So in reality, in my opinion, No Dice was the first real Badfinger album, and also the first album with lead guitarist Joey Molland. The album was released in November of 1970 and peaked at number 28 on Billboard, and the first single, No Matter What, was a top 10 hit. The album also included the original version of Without You, which would be a number one hit for Harry Nilsson 2 years later.
Well, I can't forget this evening and your face when you were leaving, but I guess that's just the way the story goes. You always smile, but in your eyes your sorrow shows. Yes, it shows. Well, I can't forget tomorrow when I think of all my sorrow. I had you there, then I let you go. And now it's only fair that I should let you know what you should know.
Number 7 on my list of my top 10 favorite albums of 1970 is the third album by Neil Young, After the Gold Rush. Young's first album was a bore and his second album, Country Rock, but he really found his sound on this, his third album, a folk rock masterpiece in my opinion. It's interesting that a 1970 Rolling Stone review was very critical of the record. Quote, "None of the songs here rise above the uniformly dull surface." But by 1975, the magazine was referring to the album as a masterpiece. It really is a great album with a unique sound. Don't Let It Bring You Down is my favorite song on the record.
The building straight to sky, cold wind ripping night with an answer in his hand. Come on down to the river of sight and you can really understand. Red lights flashing through the window in the rain and you hear the sirens moan. White cane lying in a gutter in the lane. If you're walking home alone, don't let it bring you down. It's only castles burning. Find someone who's turning and you will come around. Don't let it bring you down. It's only castles burning. Just find someone who's turning and you will come around. Don't let it bring you down. It's only castles burning. Just find someone who's turning and you will come around.
George Harrison began recording his solo debut with Phil Spector at Abbey Road Studios in May of 1970. Mixing was completed by October, and the album was released at the end of November. Upon its release, the album would sit at number one on the Billboard charts for the first 7 weeks of 1971, longer than Paul McCartney's solo debut had been at number one the previous year. While technically a triple album, it's really just a double album, but a great one. What Is Life, which was a top 10 hit, is perhaps my favorite song of any of the Beatles' solo work. But let's hear another song from the record, a great song called Art of Dying.
Yeah.
So All Things Must Pass was number 6. At number 5 on my list of my top 10 favorite albums of 1970 is the third album by a band called Led Zeppelin. The record was recorded between January and August of 1970 and released on October 5th, and it is without a doubt my own personal favorite album by Led Zeppelin. Definitely their strongest, most consistent collection of songs. Critics and fans alike were taken aback by the dramatic shift in style toward folk music and acoustic instrumentation on the album. I guess people wanted a whole album full of Whole Lotta Loves, but I think the songs are great. It's hilarious that many people at the time accused Led Zeppelin of ripping off Crosby, Stills, and Nash. I just don't hear it. I played several songs from this record on my Dazed and/or Confused episode. Out on the Tiles is probably my favorite Led Zeppelin song. But let's hear a great song from this record that I didn't play on that show, a song called Friends.
I'm telling you.
Bridge Over Troubled Water is the fifth and final album by a folk duo called Simon and Garfunkel, and number four on my list of my favorite albums of 1970. It was released in January of 1970. Following the duo's successful soundtrack to The Graduate, Art Garfunkel was cast in the film adaptation of Catch-22. So while he was off doing that, Paul Simon was writing this record. Simon and Garfunkel were in the middle of recording the album when Woodstock happened, so they turned down a chance to play the festival. Bridge Over Troubled Water would include three top 10 hits. Cecilia would reach number 4, The Boxer number 7, and the title track number 1. The song El Condor Pasa is based on a Peruvian song which Simon thought was traditional, but was actually written by Daniel Robles, whose son Armando filed an unsuccessful lawsuit. Simon basically took a piece of Andean music and turned it into a beautiful, moving song.
Yes, I would. If I could, I surely would. I'd rather be a hammer than a nail. Yes, I would. If I only could, I surely would. Street. Yes, I would. If I could, I surely would. I'd rather feel the earth beneath my feet. Yes, I would. If I only could, I surely would.
Studs back at gym. You know, those were different times. All the poets, they studied rules of verse, and those ladies, they rolled their eyes.
At number 3 on my list is a record called Loaded, which came out in November of 1970. It's the fourth album by the Velvet Underground, and my personal favorite record by the band. It was the band's first album without John Cale, and their last album with Lou Reed, who left the band before the record even came out. In fact, Reed was very critical of the final mix, and claimed that the album had been edited and resequenced without his consent. Every song on the album is good, most of them great. The first side is amazing. Who Loves the Sun, Sweet Jane, Rock and Roll, Cool It Down, New Age. Great stuff. I'm going to play you a song I really love from this record. The very last song on the album. An epic tune called Oh Sweet Nothing.
Yeah. Say when, Tony.
When, Tony?
Right.
Did I ever tell you
take 10.
I don't think I want to hear that, Dick.
Good night, John.
Good night, Paul.
Say good night, John.
Good night, Paul.
Just a touch. Just a touch.
Well, just a moment.
He's working up a fever. You get out of Jack Glynn's way. You're so big, he didn't dare say it, you see, Jim.
Halfway out of tune, but I continue playing because I'm no goon. Could you give me a boom? Could you give me a tune?
Yeah, I'm a bit out of tune.
Chris, ready? All cameras 11.
Poco, poco. I like the lorry effect.
Live.
We're going home. You better believe it. Goodbye.
The small gathering on Savile Row is only the beginning. The event is so momentous that historians may one day view it as a landmark in the decline of the British Empire. The Beatles are breaking up.
When I find myself in time of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom.
Hello, hello, hello.
Doesn't matter about popping, Glenn.
This isn't very loud, Glenn.
Popping's in, man. I'll never get Maggie May done if they go on like this.
By the time the Beatles' 12th and final album, Let It Be, was released, on May 8, 1970, the band had already announced their breakup. Most of the songs on Let It Be had been recorded in January of 1969, before the Abbey Road album was recorded, and the Let It Be recording sessions were filmed for a documentary about the making of the album and the Beatles' proposed return to the live stage. These projects, album and film, did not go well. The process was fraught with turmoil. George Harrison, after separate, heated arguments with both Paul McCartney and then John Lennon, he quit the band for a short period. Also, McCartney and Lennon were not working together as before, and McCartney assumed a sort of leadership role, while Lennon seemed more interested in hanging out with his soon-to-be wife, Yoko Ono, who was present in the studio with him at all times. Most of what would become the Abbey Road album was also tried out during these recording sessions, which were originally supposed to be for an album to be called Get Back, but that album, the Glyn Johns version, was shelved, and Phil Spector was brought in, supposedly to fix it. I really love the resulting album. I think the songs are great.
Wildly as they slip.
So Let It Be by the Beatles, number 2 on my list of top 10 albums that came out in 1970. And now, my number 1 album, my personal favorite album that was released in 1970 is... Lola vs. Power Man and the Money Go Round Part 1, the 8th studio album by British rockers The Kinks. This is a concept album that takes a satirical look at the music industry and its various facets, including song publishing, the unions, the press, accountants, managers, touring. It would be a mistake, a big mistake, to judge this album based on the similar sounding singles, Lola and Ape Man. The rest of the songs on the record are, for the most part, astonishingly great. The Kinks was mainly a songwriting vehicle for Ray Davies, but his brother Dave also wrote some great songs, including one of my favorite songs on this album, a haunting ballad called Strangers. Another killer song on Lola vs. Power Man and the Money Go Round Part 1 is one of the Kinks' riffiest rockers, a brilliant bludgeoner called Power Man. So there you have it, my top 10 personal favorite albums that were released in the year of 1970. And now, to play us out.
What does that mean, to play us out? I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show?
Yeah.
Let's hear one more song from my favorite record of 1970, the Kinks album, Lola vs. Power Man and the Money Go Round Part 1. This is a song called Get Back in the Line. Until next time.
Facing
shall I bide my time? 'Cause when I see that Union man walking down the street, he's a man who decides if I live or I die, if I stop.
Swamp down in Dagobah, where it bubbles all the time like a giant carbonated soda, S-O-D-A soda. I saw the little runt sitting there on a log. I asked him his name and in a raspy voice he said Yoda, Y-O-D-A Yoda, Yo-Yo-Yo-Yo-Yo. But he's wrinkled and green, oh my Yoda, Yo-Yo-Yo-Yo-Yoda. Loud, not dumb, but I can't understand how he can lift me in the air just by raising his hand, oh my Yoda, Yo-Yo-Yo-Yo-Yoda, Yo-Yo-Yo-Yo-Yoda. Go astray, let the force be your guide, oh my Yoda, Yo-Yo-Yo-Yo-Yoda. I know Darth Vader's really got you annoyed, but remember if you kill him then you'll be
goodness me.
Don't want to do that anymore. Haven't you better get on, though? Don't start on them.
What do you like to learn?
Be back.